Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to be back with you again on this February 16th, 2017, for yet another episode, an opportunity to engage our listening audience in educational dialogue. Tonight's show is entitled Community Engagement. At a point in American history when there is reasonable concern about the safety and well-being of the most challenged communities, the question is, how do I engage my community and make a difference for me and my fellow residents? And tonight we will talk with our very special guest, Mr. Roosevelt Williams, who is a retired United States Air Force officer, as well as a seasoned and retired educator in the public school system, and most importantly, one who has made an effort to engage his community by way of running for local council district in metropolitan Nashville-Davidson County in Council District 1. We'll hear from him in just a little bit. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, you're listening to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. The number to give us a call, and we encourage you to call us, share your comments, your questions, and offer substantive dialogue to our show. The number is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We welcome, again, your comments, your questions, and your participation. As you know, those of you who have heard us for some time, our show is archived, and you can go back and listen as often as you like. And in our traditional format, what we do is we provide a monologue here. Yours truly as your host. We go into our monologue to give us some context for our conversation for the next hour and a half or so. And we, again, want to encourage you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. We will open up our phone lines and our guests will be happy to entertain your questions or comments. Having said all of that, we're going to now give you some context for what discussion is this evening. Second Chronicles, 7 and 14, a very familiar passage of scripture. It reads in the King James Version, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." In the text, the voice that you hear speaking is none other than the grand architect of the universe, the father of all people, communities, and societies. And it's making it very plain that there are conditions by which people can be whole and healed from hurt, from pain. When we look at the condition of today and we look at many challenged communities, the question again is asked, how can I do something about what I see around me? How can I be of help? How can I be an agent of proactive change? And I think there are many good people who have that question in the deep resources of their mind. Tonight, we want to speak about that, and prayerfully, we'll be able to answer that question for you by the end of the show. To do that, though, I would like to define some terms related to the topic of community engagement. And then I would like to speak about pillars of any viable community, what they are, and then offer our listening audience four key social domains within a community. Okay? So let me begin by first introducing the concept of a community. By definition, it is a social group of any size whose members reside in a specific locality, share a common government, and often have a common cultural or historical heritage that identifies them. Within that community, we find a subgroup known as a neighborhood. Functionally, it is defined as a district or locality, often with reference to its character or inhabitants, specific things that people do there, the way their house looks, the way they have block parties and things of that nature. Additionally, a number of persons that live near one another in a particular locality is another way of defining a neighborhood. In each neighborhood, which is a subpart of a community, you also have families or a family. Let me speak about the definition of a family from four perspectives: the perspective of a household, of a clan, of a racial group, and from a perspective of fellowship. First, the household. Family is a group of individuals living under one roof and usually with one head. Now, today we see that we have what we have non-traditional families or single parent head homes. There are issues or circumstances that result in that. But what we want to be clear about is that one thing identify a family's unit is the fact that you have a group of people who live under one roof and should have some sort of leadership there. All right? Family from the context of clan is a group of persons of common ancestry. People can identify with certain ethnic traits that go back over a period of time. Then family as a race can be defined as a people or group of people regarded as deriving from a common stock that have certain phenotypic and genotypic features. Then lastly, in terms of the from the perspective of fellowship, family is a group of people united by certain convictions or a common affiliation. They share certain beliefs in common. So briefly, let me speak about the pillar of a viable community, and I will identify three. And this is based on our sociological research. Family stability is one of the pillars. You know you have a viable community when you have family stability. It is identifiable. The family unit is the foundation of society and the bedrock of humanity. Accordingly, the health, stability, and integrity of this institution is extremely important. From it, children receive their sense of identity, purpose, and prosperity. In the absence of healthy family values and direction, men, women and children are subject to have conflicts in social interactions. The second pillar is that of educational aims for any community. For any culture to sustain itself, there must be a systematic process of teaching history, heritage, and principal order established by the elders or forefathers of current and future generations of the said community. The process of education serves as the primary tool of socialization for young citizens within that community to prepare them to continue the ethnic identity and to affirm social stability and its values for the subgroup as it continues itself. Then lastly, the third pillar of a viable community is common belief system. And it is a shared practice of communal reliance designed to unify and justify the existence of an organized group of people. This system drives economic, political, religious, social, and instructional practices for all members of that said community. Since the beginning of time, cultures have been largely identified and judged by their belief system. Now, lastly, let me share with you four key social domains. The first one is the individual domain. An individual person or resident, young or old, their core belief system is greatly impacted by their family dynamics from birth. The latter is related to their individual learning needs and their individual social needs, basically. And you see this as you interact with them in the larger social context beyond the family unit. Then there is the family social domain itself. As we made reference to earlier, the family environment is the first social setting of learning for any child or individual, whether that's good or bad. If there are dysfunctional family dynamics, then likely the child's character tend to be shaped by them, unfortunately. There are other instances where, or exceptions, I should say, where a child is able to have external influences to allow them to break away from that. But when you see a child facing challenges and issues, that is a result of, first, the family context. And then we have the ethnic or subcultural social domain. And perhaps the most critical influences of a child's decision-making is the social or subcultural impact of a common thread of ideologies, images, stemming from relationship ties within the family and the neighborhood. Most often, the latter ties are not enforceable by a written or codified rule, but rather the dire need for validation within a social experience. The leadership within this social domain is informally placed in the care of the elders, religious figures, and hero-type characters who are well-known figures receiving the spotlight. Oftentimes, these are drug dealers and gangbangers and hustlers in certain challenged communities. Whenever there is a breakdown in relationship between this domain and the civic domain, which we'll speak about in a second, children tend to have difficulties in prioritizing respect for authority beyond the home. The best case scenario is when both the ethnic and the civic domain of social influence offer pro-social instructions to responsible parties in the family domain. Now, let me talk about, lastly, the civic domain is. And I think this is where our guests will be most equipped to share with us, having served in numerous positions over the years. The civic domain functions as a formal platform for resources, public education, protection, and multicultural unity. The process of teaching the formal expectations for citizenship is a function of the public school system. That's what it's intended to do. Often people get it mixed up about what their job is, but that is their primary job, to teach expectations for responsible citizenship. The greatest opportunity for the collaborative effort any community, any city, across the previously discussed social domain exists right here on this level, the civic domain. When city leaders, subcultural leaders, and parents share social values, children and youth have the best protection from at-risk type behaviors throughout their lifespan. I am honored now to bring and share with you, our listening audience, our guest tonight, and the person again of Mr. Roosevelt Williamson, who I mentioned is a military man. We thank him for his service in the United States Air Force and for his service as a public school educator for I think over 20, 30 years now, and as well as his service as a candidate for council in District 1. We also have with us tonight our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is very supportive of our efforts to share in our 10-city tour here. Mr. Roosevelt Williamson, welcome this evening.
Good evening, Ruben, and good evening to our listening audience. Thank you so much, Ruben, for having me on your show.
Yes,
I look forward to the input and the dialogue that will take place on this evening.
Okay, all right. We appreciate you coming. I know you're a busy man, and he's supposed to have retired, but you know when you care about people, it's hard to do that, isn't it, Bro Williams?
That is very true. I stay very busy still.
Okay, all right. Had the pleasure of meeting him when both of us ran for political office in our local council district. And I had a great deal of respect, still have, for his platform and his vision for the community that we both live in and how he wants to engage in. I'm grateful to have him share a little bit of that with us tonight. And anything else you have, you heard our dialogue, Mr. Williamson. Where do we go wrong there?
Well, that is a very good question. And out of the 23 years I spent teaching at a local high school, I do have some opinions on that. But I think, you know, before we can act, we need to have a dialogue on what's wrong. We can't fix it until we know what's wrong with it, correct?
Yes, sir.
I think you're right on point with your social domain and your domains. And what I saw when I was in the school is the main thrust is involvement. We're missing it on a very, very basic premise. It's not to throw anybody under the bus or throw any particular system.
Right.
I think what you see in Metro, you probably will see across the board. But involvement by parents, you know, in the school systems is really lacking. Now, you know, we're talking about a certain, certain students, mostly lower income. Parents just aren't involved in the school system. I can recall very vividly in the numerous parent-teacher conferences that we would have and the various programs, the parents just didn't show. Now, the ones did show were the ones that were doing very, very well. But the ones that you needed to sit down and have a dialogue with about how we can improve their academic achievement, they just weren't there. So the number one thing that I think to engage is that we've got to get involved.
Right. Is it fair to say that there is a misunderstanding about what a community is and how it functions? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, but I think more so than that is just, you know, you mentioned the dysfunctional families. You know, our kids go through a lot, and that's why I always try to make them comfortable in the classroom environment, because you just don't know what they came out of the night before, whether or not they're spending at the hospital, or they're spending in the car, or they're spending at a relative domestic dispute. And so, you know, I try to make them comfortable, because no education can take place until you break through that barrier. So, that dysfunctional part, taking kids in and out of schools, You know, it got to be really a problem because stability, as you indicated, is a key focus of education. You know, we would have kids that would, you know, we'd see two or three times in a year. You know, they would be there for a couple of weeks, leave, then come back, and then leave again, and then come back. And you can imagine
right.
the habit that wreaks on the educational process. And it's
sure.
all due to this functional piece that you mentioned. You know, they're here this 1 week with this parent, and then another mm-hmm. week, because of whatever reason, they're with another parent, which causes them to take them out of that environment, put them in another school,
right.
and then, lo and behold, in another couple of weeks, they don't make it there, so they may go to a grandparent's aunt or uncle. So in which case, the kid has changed school a minimum of three times, only to end right back up where they first started from. So,
yeah,
know,
yes, sir, I was going to say to your point, too often, they act as their own parent. They're raising themselves.
Exactly.
And interestingly enough, this is not just germane to Nashville, but this is a national issue.
Absolutely.
In terms of some of the same traits and outcomes. Ms. Williamson, you were talking about the family itself. You know, and I suggested and certainly inferred in my monologue that the civic domain, where the community, the larger community itself, that the neighborhood is encapsulated in, that there's a specific role there. What would you say in terms of our government and those agencies and the resources they have based on tax basis, what would you say its primary function is as the community itself? Because, you know, often we hear people say they are part of the black community, but you really can't, it's hard to define what that is because many of them don't own any businesses and the tax base is so low and many of them rent their homes, they don't own their homes and things of that nature. So you have no real investment there. What would you say is the function of the community for its residents all the way down to the individual and the family?
Well, starting with each individual, you know, a lot of times, and you and I are included in that number, a lot of times when we mm-hmm. raise our kids and we send them off to school or we get them through school, then we tend to think that our job is finished. But we mm-hmm. still have work in our communities with these other kids that may not have it as well as our kids may have. So my mother has always been, you know, each one teach one, each one mm-hmm. reach one. No, and we need to go back and help some people who may be struggling. Now, to get back to the question about the government, I think a government needs to have definitely more youth programs. They need to, you know, because our education piece is focusing on education, and they are concentrating on the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And then they're lacking, however, those most important R, three R's. Respect
Uh-oh.
For self, respect for others, and respect for authority. You know, they
wow.
can teach you reading, writing, arithmetic, and they're working on scores, and scores are very important. But that's only part of it. You know, you go back to the basic question of what is the function of education. And I think Martin Luther King summed it up very eloquently. He said the function of education is teach one to think intensively and to think critically. And this is the kicker here. Intelligence plus character is the goal of true education. I think we're short in character building programs. And, you know, that's what we need to get back to. The other piece is the service aspect of community, getting kids involved in service, giving back to the community. You know, a lot of times kids feel like they have been dealt a bad hand, you know, in this thing called life. However, by giving back, they can learn to see there's other people who are in worse condition than they are, and thus they can help work with their attitude about that. And then the character building piece, again, you can't say enough about character. You know, even when you get educated, whether it's high school or college, there are going to be problems, and we need to help our youth deal with how do you deal with problems. Our church always likes to talk about the bounce back ability of a person. We need to teach our youth about that bounce back ability, because problems are going to come whether or not you're educated or whether you're not from a well-to-do family or a socioeconomic family. So, you know, those are just a few things, you know, I kind of see that we need to try to help our youth with.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned something very key, and that is the importance of teaching reciprocity to young people at a young age. You know, where much is given, much is received, right?
Absolutely.
Where much is received, there's a greater expectation from you. And I think that's why some people don't want to know particularly the truth of what's right, because they fear that I may have to act on that. Encourage our young people to embrace that and to be prepared, you know, once you've been blessed, to share with others. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
Well, I think you got a good point right there, you know, to just make it real plain, you know, saying when you receive something, and he says that much has been given and much is required of you. I mean, I think that shows that there should be a concern. I want to thank God for the brother who's speaking and sharing with us. And I just want to make sure that, you know, I get a chance to get a good feel of what it's like, you know, to be educated, to learn. And I just wanted to say that it's a lot of learning that's going on outside of the school. You know, the kids are learning some real, real, real strong, powerful behaviors. And what I got in contact with was being captured by what they're learning. Those behaviors, they're so, so strong, man. I mean, I use, for example, myself, things that I learned, I learned from the streets, and suddenly I was captured. And that's the thing that's going on. You know, we got to get out there amongst the people that are captured out there. You know, and I never claimed to know the word of God or anything like that. But school is always in session. And when you're learning the street life and the things that's required, and then you go to school, you know, through the week, and school become less interested to some people. You know, and thank God for those that continue to stay steadfast in it.
Right.
But when you got the law was given and never obeyed, and then you have, as I've always said, Pastor Dockery, the trap. That trap, according to the word of God, and that's when I learned about it. Knew I was in one years ago, but I didn't know the Bible. It says that they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil.
Right.
He has taken them captive to do his will. So if we learn the devil's will, and we don't know that we are learning the devil's will, but yet still we can get, if we're going to grade someone by the work that they're doing and how they're learning, some of the guys are going to get an A out there in the streets. You know, A plus, you see?
Right.
And then get an F in school. So now they're caught between which one is better. And it's overtaking our communities, and that's the thing basically that I was thinking about. I haven't had a whole lot of knowledge of school, because once street life became more, I would say, interesting to me, it started to elevate. You know, the school was less important. And I'm thinking that's not how it started. I mean, school was good, you know, to get the learning. I mean, it was fun and all those things. And all of a sudden, got captured. So,
well, we appreciate the fact that your experiences enable us to strike a balance for other young people who may feel the same way you did then, that formal education has no purpose or place for me. I believe that Mr. Williamson would agree with me that we certainly need to reach them and strike a balance with them as well. And that's a good segue into our next area. I'd like to go to a brief
One more point, Reuben. I think Pastor Waller had an excellent point. But again, you know, if you look at the day, which is 24 hours a day, and 7 hours of those 24 are spent in the school system, that leaves 17 hours for, you know, that's a big chunk of time. And as they said, you know, and that's where we need to substitute that time that's more with something that's positive.
Okay.
Because you're right.
Okay.
You know, we say it all the time. You know, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So we need to substitute 17 hours with things that make the kids feel good about themselves, and more importantly, take it away from the time that they're exposed to it out on the street.
That's correct.
That's right. Now, let me do this. Let me go to our brief commercial break. And when we come back, Mr. Williamson, I'd like you to address this question for me. You know, often well-intended individuals suggest that they are prepared to engage communities to help them. I want you to talk to me about how should one engage your community. What is the appropriate process to do so effectively? When we come back on the other side, if you don't mind, I'd like you to hit that for me and address that for me. All right, then.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
You know, come on, John. Get rid of one without getting rid of the other. We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're on tonight talking about community engagement. Feel free to share with us your comments, your questions at 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. Our honored guest tonight, Mr. Roosevelt Williamson, will be happy to respond to your question or comment, as well as our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Gentlemen, when we left before the break, and by the way, we want to encourage individuals to support our traveling lecture series. Our last episode, we outlined those 10 cities, 11 cities that we're outside of Nashville, where we began our work here in Nashville with our research and parlay certain issues in those other cities. But without digressing, when we left before the break, I posed a question. You've heard Willie Hutch, Mr. Williamson, and in the song, we hear that there were different characters
who had different ideas how to make money and how to survive, how to thrive, and how to build community. Some of them were not some of the best. And Pastor Waller has an expert position on that, given that that was something that he engaged in for a long time, but now God has blessed him to translate that into a powerful instructional. Who is it, Mr. Williamson, that is best able to engage a community, and how should they do so?
Well, Brother Dockery, again, that's an excellent question. And I go back to the old adage, you've heard it, I've heard it, Pastor Wall's probably heard it, it takes a village to raise a child.
Talk to me about that.
It takes a village. It's everybody's concern because, you know, everybody's got to play a part, from the church to the parents to the schools, and they break down in either one of them. You know, this epidemic is you know, violence among our youth is like a cancer. And I think one of the things we need to do is, just like with cancer, we got to catch it early. You know, you can't wait till you get in high school and then start talking about character and doing right and all that. You got to start at a very early age. That means we got to catch them early.
Wow.
And then once we catch them early, just like with cancer, you got to continually treat it. Because at any time, if you get off the treatment, you could have a relapse. So, you know, and even treat it and it goes in remission, it could pop back up again. So,
okay,
it's
now,
one thing.
Let me
go
push
ahead.
Back on you. But can I play the devil's advocate for a second?
Go right ahead.
All right, now, so when you go back and you catch Dockery and you find that, like this character in the song, he's the one that's serving the dope. He's the one that's encouraging gang banging. I'm the enemy. I'm the one that you need to rid and deal with, right? How do you do that in a way that you let me know that you understand that I'm trying to hustle to survive, but my hustle is destroying the rest of it? I'm the bad apple in the barrel. How you do that?
Well, you know, you just got to keep chipping on that rock. You just got to keep pounding on that rock about the fact that education is knowledge. Knowledge is power, and power is money. And this is the same thing the person is trying to get you to do, but he's just trying to take a shortcut. You know, we're trying to educate you, and it's going to benefit you long term versus the short term. And kids nowadays have become very short term oriented. You know, they kind of like the microwave. They want to pop it in there, and 30 seconds later, they want it ready to make money. It doesn't work that way. So you got to work with them and hopefully mentor them, continuously talk with them. And, you know, society, you know, they're showing all the, you know, the athletes and the entertainers and their bling and all that stuff. That doesn't happen. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, less than 1% of folks are going to make it that way. And so the other 90% of us are going to have to make it the old-fashioned way and work for it.
Just <work. Yeah. laughs>
But, you know, just like Pastor Wall said, you know, it's an education going on all the time. And unless they're willing to put work in for it and do it the right way, you know, a lot of them will choose to do it the wrong way. But, you know.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say, gentlemen, I was invited to do a presentation with the Tennessee School Social Workers Association at one of their conferences. And I asked a question to some of the teachers and social workers that were in the breakout session that I was facilitating. If you had a gangbanger or drug dealer who had the influence over a young person who you could not reach in your classroom and could not get them to do right and to engage themselves in learning, and they could help you, would you embrace them? And that was a long pause, gentlemen, because we've been taught conventionally that those people should be castigated from society. They have no function, no place in the education or motivation of our children. I said that to say that the challenge that we have, and tell me if I'm going wrong here, Mr. Williamson, the challenge we have is to tap into every natural resource within the community, even if it's going astray, and show them how to be positive and productive. Am I off base there, Mr. Williams?
No, I think you're right on point. In fact, what comes to mind is that I knew a great educator up in the Knoxville area that taught at a Knoxville high school, and she met regularly with the drug dealers, and they carved out agreements on when they would come and when they would go, all for the protection of her students. Now, tell me if that's not where you I mean, they were one of my great, great educators that had the foresight to know what she was up against, but yet she had the courage to face it and try to come to some kind of, you know, she knew she wasn't going to change the world, so she tried to help the world change what was going on.
Okay. All right.
Come on. Come on, Pastor. Well, I know you got something to say. I know you got something to say.
I'm enjoying what Mr. Williams is talking about, man. I mean, you're right on it. And the thing that I get most out of dealing with what's going on outside of the schoolhouse and outside of the homes, and that is the time frame that it takes to go to the store and see the guys posted on the corner, and it looks like they're enjoying themselves, you know. Those things right there, man, it's a teaching moment. And it don't take but a moment to get captured into the thought of, when I get back home, I got it on my mind, I can't wait to go to the store again. And see those things right there, you know, it's luring a person right on into the lifestyle. You know, the thing, how I would meet someone, and knowing that I've been in the game before, they're still out there, I would have to have compassion on them simply because I know how hard it is to break away from it, man. I mean, you know, you started to get money, you know, $10 or $15, and suddenly you start getting $100 and don't mess around and get $1,000, man. I mean, you don't even know who you are anymore at that point. And so, you know, to know that how fast and how speedy, and Mr. Williamson was talking about the microwave way of getting whatever it is when it comes down to finances, it happens, and it's going on like that right now. And these guys, you know, the materialistic realm, it's got so many things to offer in society now, and they'd like to get it real quick for those that are captured into it. So this is how I would approach the people, because I know they're having a hard time. That's the main thing. I know that they're having a hard time. Some really might want out, but just don't know how to get out. And so I would go and let them know that there is hope, number one. And that I've been into it, so I understand. I would not tell you to stop doing anything. I wouldn't dare do them like that, because nobody told me to stop. In other words, God didn't even tell me to stop. So I would go to them just like that, man, how he taught me. The first, come just as I am. And that, you know, God can do anything except the fair. You know, I talk that kind of talk. And one may say, I don't even know God. I don't even see him. I would be the witness right there. I said, I didn't either. I said, I didn't see that drug that I had that I put in my body, but I put it in it, and I was looking for the results, you know. And so, you know, this is just one of those things that, you know, I had to get a try, and you just had to give it a shot, and suddenly you may see change. And let me say it like this now. Let me say this right here. Okay, this person that just started getting money, I'm using for an example, and suddenly – you tell him to stop doing that. Could you imagine the power of saying stop doing that versus I just made $1,000?
Right.
You know, and I made it real quick. And see, that'll be a hard thing to do, man. What I did was, when I went to God, according, like many may not go to God and everything, but when I went to God, I went just the way I was.
Okay.
And that's the best way to go to God, is just like, okay, God, I'm using drugs, I'm selling drugs, I'm messing my community up, and God didn't tell me to stop. Well, he just wanted to see what I was going to continue. Go ahead.
Let me pick your mind for a second. Let me know if I'm hearing you wrong. What I'm hearing you say is that when I've struggled for a long time and I finally start finding a way to find some happiness by making some little change, you understand, breaking off a little something. Then you come to me, then Brother Williamson, or you come to me and say, hey, I got to stop doing that. That's like telling me you want me to lay down and die. I'm like a rubber band that's been stretched to its capacity, and all of a sudden somebody let it go. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Brother?
That's it, man. And they mean no harm. It's just that the money has so much power to it. You know, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And the person's not seeing no evil. He's not even seeing that the love is for them. You know, he's not even seeing any of that. He's just seeing the money. You know, that small piece of paper that carries that lot of weight, you see. And when you don't know those things, and you're captured before you recognize it, and all of a sudden, you know, you're locked up maybe or something like that, and then you can't wait to get back out. And you're probably thinking, well, I know I was wrong. I'm going to change my lifestyle. And all of a sudden you get back out, and the same thing continues, man. So it's a power. It's not easy to overcome. You know, I only stopped selling drugs in 1997. I got delivered from drugs in 1992, but I want you to see the difference. God did not tell me to stop selling dope in 1992 because he knew good and well I couldn't handle too much good stuff at one time. So he had to take me as I was and first stop me from putting the drugs inside of my system first before I could help somebody else. You know, and he knew it was going to weigh on me when I was serving my community. And I'm like, I'm messing up people's lives and everything. Now I can kind of see now. And I was like, man, I got to do this. And when I stopped, man, that was a tough thing, man. It was not easy. It was not easy at all. I was first to admit it was not easy, man, you know. And so that's what's going on with a lot of these guys. You're getting a lot of money out there, man.
You're keeping it 100 because I can't tell you the number of times that students have told me and other educators, why do I need an education? I'm making more money than you. You go to school for 4, 8, 6, 8 years to make this money. So I've seen them pull out wallets. They have plenty of money.
Bro Wilson, what do you say to him? How do you combat that? I mean, because that's significant. We got a lot of potential, a lot of young people with great potential who are stuck in the trap, as Mr. Waller talked about, and can't see their way out. How do you combat that, Ms. Williams?
Well, the only thing I could do and what I have done was just tell them the story. I buried three of my students. I've been with the family and grieved over them. Now, you know, you want to roll the dice, you could be, you know, and put a lot more in correctional facilities. So you roll the dice. And that's why I try to get into some other things that substitute for the time that they're exposed to that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, we need to do something that's going to make them feel good about waiting until their ship come in. While they're waiting for the ship to come in, you know, it goes back to the economics. What is money? I mean, money is a means, not an end. It's a moment, and they may not buy any because the lights ain't on at house, you know, and they know they need things. So it takes a lot of teaching. That's why I think our educational system is kind of failing in trying to get that message. Yeah, it's going to take a while, but, you know, you're better off to wait. And try to play this thing out to get your ship to come in.
So if we go back to our concept of community engagement and what does it take, right? How do you do that? What is the process? What I'm hearing, what I'm concluding from our conversation is, first of all, you have to understand that these young people missed out on some vital instructions within their community. Somebody dropped the ball relative to teaching them in their first social unit of the family how to first identify themselves, pull out their best quality. That's what education, the prefix of education is to educe, bring out that which is in outward, right? So they have to learn how to identify and bring out. That's what puts them on the street to sell dope and gang bang and everything else. They're looking for validation. They're looking for relation. And they're looking for families. Now, when we talk about our communities and engaging our communities, surely we have to keep that in mind. Everybody don't have that at heart. And oftentimes, people who say they want to represent a community, you can't get them to commit themselves to first saying that I'm going to go and talk to, as I'm going to reiterate something I said in our last episode, teach these young guys, they may have a gun in their hand, right? But you got to look them in the eye, Mr. Williams, and tell them money don't make you a man. but men make money. If you don't believe me, ask James Brown. He said it's a man's world. Can I get a witness, somebody? I didn't come to preach, but I'm feeling my help right now.
That's what he said. That's definitely what he said. Man.
Let me interrupt this story how if you can channel it right, it can work for you good. For example, I had one of my students, and I'll always remember him forever for the bravery he withstood. And this is a true story. His brother got killed. Brother got shot down, killed. Now, you can imagine what was going through his brother's mind. Brother Waller, you know what's up.
Yes,
somebody got me, now they gonna get got. You know, the streets.
Right.
And we work with him, and to this very day, he's leading a very productive life, thanking us for helping him get through that. A lot of these kids, there's a lot of violence out there, and the street life is a very violent life. But you know, if you can approach it in training, you can help them with a lot of that.
Praise God for that, man. That's great. That's good to hear that.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was wanting to say something earlier, and I wanted to put emphasis on it because it was very tough on me, and I'm being called on quite often, when there's a murder that's taking place, and man, when I get the call, it weighs on me because I first don't even like to go to funerals, period. And then now I'm going to another murder that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the one, the young brother, they killed him and threw him over. They meant to throw him in the water, but they didn't throw him in the water. So the family was able to find him. However, so here's the thing about that. Now I'm at the funeral. And I know that I'm assigned to tell truth, about what's going on. And these guys, these people are there, man, and I don't want to tell this again, man. I don't want to say anything about this, but I'm just thinking about the pain that it brings, man, when I think about what actually happened. So here I am, knowing all these people up in there, they don't tell me how many in there that were still in the streets caught up doing what they're doing. And I have to say what I have to say, man. They sent up and said, man, he ain't going to get ready to say this. Or, whether they was open to hear what needed to be said. Man, it's just a sad thing. And it was weighing on me so heavy today that it's not getting any better. So I'm fighting harder because of this young guy. He was at the event that they had for me. They had a Black History celebration for me March the 5th of last year. And this young guy actually showed up out of all the young people that grew up in the neighborhood that I come up in. He was the only young brother that came. And I tell you, man, I tell you, brother, he was intelligent, he was smart, but he still got captured out there for somebody to kill him like that. And he's not that kind of guy. He loves people, and that's the kind of guy, I don't know what happened or anything again, but it's just the thought of it, man. And when Mr. Williamson was talking about how this guy that he shared about, was able to change his direction as a result of them stepping up to him. So I went on and said what I said at the film. I told him, I said, about we have to stop gunning one another down. I said, this is actually Black History Month. And
look
at all the killing that's going amongst us, like that, man. And so, I don't know what the guys are going to say, about it, but I had to go ahead and say what I'm assigned to say when it comes down to that, man. But it does not feel good at all to watch these young brothers, being caught up into that. And that's why I say they need to be somewhere down the line. People come to the knowledge of saying, look, we got to take it out there where it needs to be. They're hurting after they get to school. You got to find ways and means to reach them. And, you don't want to just go up and tell them to stop doing anything because that's not good.
Right.
I couldn't approach them like that because I wasn't told like that, but I was glad for the man that came out of the church and said something to me. And that's what motivated me is because the man came out of the church and said something to me while I was out there lost, And years later I changed, but I didn't change that day, but years later. So, you got to start somewhere. So that was a great story, Williamson.
Okay.
I like that, man. That the brother, changed his life.
I'll tell you what, gentlemen, that is a great segue into our last section of the show. And if you all will bear with me, I want to ask you all to respond to the question. Now, you said it, you all said it, you all speaking to it. When we ran, Mr. Williamson, we had 8 people running for office. And surely all of us had some good idea. But at the end of the day, the question is who? Who is it that is most qualified to engage the community with what they need? I'd like for us to talk about that when we come back, if that's all right with you, gentlemen. After this next break, we'll wrap up our last section of the show with that. If y'all don't mind, bearing with me.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
We're grateful to have you with us. We're talking about community engagement. You still have time to offer your question, your comment, 657-383-0944. We're grateful to have our special guest tonight, Mr. Roosevelt Williamson, a retired military man, educator, public school session system, as well as a candidate for Council District 1 in Metropolitan Nashville, Davidson County in 2015. We're grateful for all of his life experience, a father, a husband, a deacon, a man that is sincere about community engagement. When we left before the break, I asked if they would, he and Pastor Waller, our regular panelists, will address this question. Everybody say they ready. Everybody say they want to make a difference. And a lot of folks say they got the answers. But the question is who? We've talked about what? We've talked about how. But now who is it that is most qualified to engage a community in the interest of building it up, strengthening it? Will you gentlemen address that, Mr. Williamson, will you go then? And Pastor Wall, let's hear from you a little bit.
Particular campaign was a very, very tough campaign. Like you mentioned, it was eight of us, and we all had strengths,
yes.
and
right.
we all had platforms, and it was a tough battle among all eight of us. And
mm-hmm.
As you well, it came down to two in the end, and it was a runoff, and then subsequently the person that was elected kind of had some things going on that caused him to resign, and then
right.
he, in essence, had to do it all over again.
Again,
you know, I take my hat off to you, Brother Dockery, for having the wherewithal to jump back in there and continue the fight. And,
well,
and we
you.
All know that you are a fighter, and that's what it takes. You know, when you are
well,
up against folks out of City Hall, you know, you have to be a fighter. And you are one.
Right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I would like to hear what you have to say about that.
All right, come on, bro. Why don't talk to us, man?
Well, I appreciate both of you brothers, man, for what you are, your contributions to society as a whole, to utilize your expertise and things like that. I really do appreciate just knowing that. We need more of you. What I am dealing with in my lane, I would say, who would be better to exercise change in the community? I would utilize someone with a great experience of meeting someone again where they are and to say, okay, I know the drug game is big. I know that. I mean, I understand it. And I fought to get out of it like I did. And I was successful getting out of it. But there's so much going on and it's so powerful that if nobody get out there, then it's going to increase in more people getting involved. And so I can believe, now, as a believer, and that's the only reason why I continue to fight on, that it said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence
mm-hmm.
of things is not seen.
That's right.
And so I don't look at the people who are caught up. That's not what I do. I don't look at them like that. I look at them being free from it.
Right.
And that
right.
would be a celebration, you know, to see a community be restored, you know, be restored in such a way where they'll find joy in it. And that's why I would think, you know, who better would be able to qualify, I would say. There was a thing where God took an unqualified man and he, you know, sent by God to do a qualified job. I mean, he had to have someone that could relate to the people. And that's who I would say would be best qualified, you know, someone that can relate to the people, that won't belittle them, won't put them down, but only be an example of being able to lift them up and let them know that there's hope. So you two guys are the one, man. I mean, you already been doing it. And, you know what I mean? So I would say just keep doing it, man. Somebody's gonna hit you one day, and especially in the school system, because both of you have that experience in the school system, man. I really actually admire that. Believe me, I really, 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 truly admire that, because I think we need more of it. We need more brothers like you all that would be able to reach and share with the people, because if you get it right there in those hours that you said, I think you said something about 7 hours, Mr. Williamson.
That's
you know,
right.
If you can get them right there and get them grounded, you know, I think that they'll never get into the streets if we can get them grounded right there. Because
that's
there
right.
is it can be done. It's not impossible. You see what I mean? Because they're going to have to leave the school. They're going to have to go to the store, to the center, or wherever, down to grandmother's house, or just whatever it is they're going to have to do when they leave out of the school. You see what I'm saying? And you're going to have to be grounded. You know, there's a scripture that says the sharp man sees the evil and takes cover,
mm-hmm.
while the simple goes on and get in trouble. Well, see,
wow.
that's how fast you get in trouble. You can be real, real simple and get into trouble. But if you're sharp, see, I thought being sharp was dressing up on the outside.
Mm.
The one they call, he's a nerd. No, he's sharp. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
That's
what you said about him. He's sharp to me. Huh? Yeah, he's the one I want to be. That man, that's sharp. You see?
Okay.
And I was just slipping. The woman got in trouble, man. I mean, the next thing I know, I'm messing up my whole community, man. I mean, yeah. Come on. So yeah, get them while they're in a 7-hour period in school, man, and just get them grounded where they'll be just hungry and thirsty for knowing that we're getting educated, we're learning something that we can look back and Pastor Dockery and Mr. Williamson, you know, for teaching us so well, you know, like that, man. So, yeah, be encouraged, brother.
You
know what you're doing.
You guys have hit it. I keep hearing Jesus say to Zebedee's
mm-hmm.
son, James and John. One said,
yeah.
Brother William, let me sit on the right hand. And the other said, yeah, and make sure I get a left hand.
That's right.
And he said to him, it's not mine, as powerful as he is, the Son of God. It's not
That's
mine
right.
to
yeah.
give. Huh? But he said that if you want to be great, then serve.
That's right.
And you can separate the wheat from the tare when you tell people get down here and get dirty with the longings and the aspirations of the people, and you'll find out just where their heart is, if they really want to be great or not.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, man. Man. Sound like you're talking about them people in the business now.
For me, the fight is personal because I came up poor. And I understand, and I know what it feels like to be poor. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I tell my school, you know, all the time, you know, if anything, being from a lower-income family should motivate you more to succeed. And matter of fact, most of my successes came from students who are considered lower-income. So, you know,
right.
there's a lot of work to be done. We got to keep preaching and keep teaching and keep, you know, pointing in the right direction. And
mm-hmm.
but for me, the fight is personal because you can see it in the eyes. Some of them don't have hope. You know, you take them home and you take them to the hotels because they don't have a home. Or I remember very vividly one kid refused to give his address. Didn't want to give his address. He won't give his address. He didn't have one. Stayed in the car. So our educational paradigm has shifted. And I think it's shifted worse. Because we still got these problems we've got to overcome while they're trying to push all this other stuff on us. How can we learn when we're dealing with all these new things?
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? I'm grateful that despite all the disappointment, despite all the pain, there is yet hope.
There is yet hope.
And I appreciate the fact that, you know, anybody can jump up and shout and make some noise. But, you know, when it's time to put the real work in, you'll find out, you know what I mean, if you're a boy or a man. Is that right?
Exactly. You know, we can march, and I have nothing wrong with marching. Marching, peaceful
protest.
Ain't nothing
wrong with marching.
Nothing wrong with that. But then what are you doing after it's over with?
Wow.
What are you doing? Because, you know, if you want to get involved, you can. And these kids will embrace you. They want attention. They want somebody to help
hungry
them.
For it.
Hungry
for it.
For it. And if you don't do it, as Brother Waller, Pastor Waller said, somebody else will.
Wow.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, and too often people look for the cameras, Brother Williams. They look for the cameras there. Who watching me? How much attention? How much coverage am I going to get? You know, maybe you don't need no coverage.
Yeah.
When
you're putting the real work in.
That's
you know, Bro Williamson, when I was running this last time, I was interviewed by the Fraternal Order Police, and one of the questions they asked, and you may have gotten this too the last time when you ran, and that was, what was my stand on the body cameras, right? And one of the concerns that nationally police have is that if you go in with the cameras on and you catch something that you shouldn't catch, you can get sued for it, right? And, you know, I said to him, I understand both sides of the deal. People want evidence of how you're doing your job and that you're doing it properly. But at the same time, what if people of the community kept an eye on one another and held one another accountable?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
deep.
Uh-oh,
that's deep.
That's the best camera right there.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And when you have a mechanism by which the pastor, parents, elected officials, and all of those sorts are encouraging and educating and empowering people to be their own body camera, we won't need the police in our neighborhood so much. Am I wrong about that, Jim?
You're absolutely right.
You're right about it.
So why are you going to spend all that money on some technology when you can invest that in people? I wish I had somebody pray with me today. Maybe it's just crazy.
Right on
that.
Right on it.
Man, say, what about just having people?
Well, invest that money and resources in educating parents, as Brother Williamson was saying earlier, and building up the home structure. Well, I like the way you said it to the people at the funeral, Pastor Waller. Listen, we got to be honest about the fact that despite this is Black history, all these Black folk killing Black folk. Now, we got to address
that's right.
Yeah.
We've addressed that.
Yeah,
we got to be honest with ourselves. One thing I found out, Brother Williamson, you know what I found out? Santa Claus, Batman, Superman ain't coming to the ghetto.
Not coming.
I grew up in the housing project in Chicago, and I've been looking for them now. I have yet to see either one of them cats come to the ghetto.
Never seen it. Never seen him make it.
So who's going to be my hero?
That's right. But what we've got to do is we've got to fill that void in our youth with positiveness.
Yes.
Now, the question becomes, how do you do that? One of the things I found that was tried and true was taking them on trips. We believed in we could take our kids out of the Nashville area into other cities, other states. They could actually see this whole thing called life is bigger than Nashville.
They're
doing some great and wonderful things, which now puts it back on them to get the education so they can go out and do some great and wonderful things. You know, the world is a beautiful place, but if a kid, all they see is what's happening on the streets day in and day out, now that's our team become what they see. So we got to see them something. We got to show them something different. So they can want to become something different.
That's right.
Wow. I like that because if a young person does not have the drive to aspire and to reach beyond where they are, it's a good chance they will become a prisoner in their own mind. One of our previous shows we were talking about the four corners of the mind of somebody who get engaged in gang banging and whatever.
Come on,
and what we identified is that it begins with ignorance.
That's ignorance
morphs into fear. That fear to anxiety, and that anxiety to self destruction and the destruction of everybody around you. You know, and so that is a powerful example of letting them know there is a world beyond Nashville, Davidson County,
that's
or wherever your local city is.
That's right. That's right.
And that world belongs to you. You have a right to that world.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And it's yours for the taking. You just got to put yourself in a position. And don't be afraid. And that's the thing. People, I could spend a long time talking about it, but basically, you know, if a kid just sees things day in and day out, that's their world. We got to show up beyond that. The world's a big place. Yeah, we're connected through the internet and all that stuff, but it's nothing like going and seeing different places.
It's a broader,
they call it leveling the playing field. A lot of these kids in the private sector and private school and child school, they go on trips regularly, and they come back. And our kids, we can't take them out of Nashville, so we need to broaden their horizon, their perspective, by showing them these different things, which will help them inspire more than what they see.
Right. And you know another thing, Brother Williamson, in my engagement with young guys in my work, and I've been fortunate to share some of those things in various cities, I find that a lot of them lack the confidence in their ability to step beyond their point of fear.
That's right.
Don't know nobody that's ever been successful at anything and don't have the confidence in themselves to be true to whatever they say they want to do, whatever goals they set for themselves. You know, I ask the question often, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? And I get the deer in the headlight look. And then I can see the fear inside of them that, wow, for me to think about that, think beyond maybe dying tomorrow, that's their self-efficacy, unfortunately. This is where the work is. This is where we begin to engage those communities with not just the old people but the young people, not just the young people but the old people and the middle-aged folk, you know.
Yeah.
And those that are not willing but they want the limelight, they need to be exposed and removed out of the way of forward progress.
That's all right, yeah.
That's all
that
right.
Is. Yeah, it is. That's definitely all right. You know, it
gentlemen,
makes a difference.
I feel my help now, Brother Williams.
All right, bring it. Come on now.
I know that you, I appreciate you taking the time, and I realize this was somewhat short notice, Ms. Winston. We got about 13 minutes. If you want to, and I know you have some other things to do, if you want to kind of give us your final thoughts here, we'll be happy to entertain those. We still got a few minutes, and callers can call in and give us some of their feedback on what we've talked about last hour or so. 657-383-0944. Pastor Wall, as always, we appreciate you hanging in there with us.
Very well.
Let me just say, Bro Williamson, I was able to read his book. My son and I both read the book, and we bounced off of one another.
Brother Doctor, if you could pass it on me, I'll be going to purchase one of them.
Yes,
I need
sir.
To read that.
I sure will. And the substance of it is, in his own way, he speaks to how an individual, despite your sin, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, he demonstrates how you can turn your lemon, water, and sugar into a cool glass of lemonade.
That's it?
I ain't going to preach, but I got thirsty right then. I just got thirsty.
Might as well. Yeah.
That's true. So, and that's really where it is. No matter where you come from, you have infinite value and something to contribute to engaging your community and making
Absolutely.
It better.
Absolutely.
Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
right.
supposed to be yielding the floor. I'm supposed to be yielding the floor. Bro, go ahead. Give us a kiss. Wrap us up here.
Well, you know, it takes me back to what Martin Luther King once said about service, and that's what we're talking about, giving back to the community, giving
yes.
back to these kids. He said that everybody can be great because everybody can serve.
Wow.
You don't need to make your subject and verb agree to serve, which means you don't have to be educated to serve. You only need to have a heart full of grace and a generated by love. I mean, what great word. We can all serve. And that's what we don't need to do. We got to get back. We got to help these young people find themselves because they don't know who they are. And in that turbulent period of preteens and teens, we need to help give them alternatives to what they see, what they read about, and more importantly, what they live on a daily basis.
Right.
And
that's
what we got to get involved. And that's the key, getting involved. It's not just to watch it, march about it, and complain about it. We've got to get involved because they
That's
want
it.
Our help. We just need to give it to them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I hope that I'm a regular. I hope you'll invite me back. I've got to been inspired by Pastor Waller and his comments and his book. I'm going to get that, read that. And in the meantime, if there's anything I can do for you, Pastor Waller, or you, Brother Zachary, feel free to give me a call.
Thank you so much.
Bless
we appreciate you being with
you.
Us and send our regards to your family.
I'll do that. Y'all be blessed now.
All right,
yes,
enjoy
sir.
You.
All right.
All right.
All right. So Pastor Waller, man, I tell you, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fight a bull now, man.
Yeah. You loaded, brother. Yeah, you loaded.
I can smack a bear in the mouth and damn to get mad about it.
Yeah. Ain't that interesting, man? That's good to know. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, that's information, man, that was going through the airways, and it's real good to know you can reach them in different areas, man, like that, you know. And once you get people in the school to get them grounded, you know, and know that the world is out there waiting on them, and, you know, it would prepare them, again, you know, for being able to escape the trap. So that was good. I think it was a great dialogue that was going on this session.
I think so, too. I think so, too. In fact, what I'd like to do is just recap with the questions and answers, you know, that we've covered. And you guys have done a splendid job to help us answer those questions, you know, that we posed, even at the beginning of the show, where we asked, you know, how do I engage my community and make a difference for me and fellow residents? What Mr. Williamson told us is you don't have to be educated to be a part of the
school. That's right.
You know, there's a songwriter that says you don't have to be a star, baby, to be on my
show. That's right.
But some of the other questions that we you all address with us is our first question for today: what is the function of a community? And I'll just sum it up by saying, any functioning community is known by its level of unity and self-sufficiency, and its members are sustained accordingly. Then the second question was, how should one engage a community? And I think we can sum that up by saying, to successfully engage a community, one must know, respect, and embrace the three pillars that we outlined of a community. That's their family value system, the educational aims for that community, and the common belief system that drives and motivates the behavior of the members of that community. And then lastly, we raise the question, who is the most qualified to engage a community? And what we concluded here is that it stands to reason that anyone who is well-educated or knowledgeable of the issues in that community,
right?
And they are invested in the longings and the aspirations of the people of that community. They're the ones who are best and most effectively able to engage them and move them to forward progress. So I'm grateful again for that participation and how we were able to bring out what I think are some more most important things relative to community engagement. Next Tuesday, we're going to have Pastor or Bishop Brother Ronnie T. Mitchell, who is the pastor of New Livingstone Baptist Church here in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's also the founder of a community development corporation, MetDeca, Middle Tennessee Contractors Association. He'll be with us, and guess what we're going to be talking about, Pastor?
What's that?
We're going to be talking about this thing we call economic development. Now, we're going to go there. Because right now, people are in a frenzy politically about the man who's expected to head the United States Department of Housing and Housing Development, who happens to be an Afro-American. But he happens to have a different political philosophy of view about things. It's interesting to me that here is an opportunity. All my life I've never known of an African-American Secretary of HUD and Development. I grew up in the projects because I'm a food stamp baby, you know. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm a food stamp baby. And I've never heard or known of a black man that had that office. I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know now if there is an opportunity for some of the most challenged communities and neighborhoods to work through that office to make sure that they have sound economic development. I'm just curious, and I believe Bishop Mitchell can tell us how to get there. I've worked with him a little bit, and I know many of the things that he's been doing, and his work speaks for itself. So we're going to have him to come on with us. And then next Thursday, mm-hmm. we just come from Columbus, Mississippi, one of our tour cities. We met another very powerful figure there who's working through their nonprofit platform to empower parents in education. We're going to talk with them next Thursday about that, Ms. Shania Richardson, who is a family education advocate as well as an entrepreneur who started her own tutoring service and parent homeschool support group. So got a full week, got a full next two episodes here. But we're grateful, again, for our listening audience tuning in tonight, and those who will listen later knows that seems to be the pattern. Some people come back later. Go to our Facebook page on our BFC Institute participant group and respond to our question thread. We love to dialogue with you via Facebook, as well as send us an email. If you have an idea, a concept you'd like for us to talk about, you'd like to come on yourself, send us an email. Let's talk about it, and we'll go from there. Pastor Waller, man, God bless you, man. God bless you. If your face wasn't so hairy, I might kiss you, man.
I still got a little bit on you. It's growing every day. They're growing right back. So there won't be no room for it.
Well, I appreciate your life mission and your contribution to society. And we're going to keep on. We're not going to be weary in our well-doing.
No way. No way.
The Bible said if we faint not, we shall. Wish I had a word. Not we might or we could, but we shall. Did you read it that way?
That's the way it was lined up when I saw it. Yes, sir. It was just, you shall, man. That means it's going to happen.
And I'm looking for it. And look, I'm looking for it, too. I'm looking for it.
Have all rights, too, brother. I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth the wait. They that wait, he said. Something you have to do it. In order to receive it, sometimes waiting is beneficial. For you to be able to know that he has it already placed in an orderly fashion. So waiting has a lot to do.
Yes, it does.
There's a lot to do. I'm reminded.
Pastor, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I apologize. Finish your thought.
I was just saying the words does say, when you're dealing with people on the outside that's weak, it says, we then who are strong, all to bear in front of the other weak, not to please ourselves. And, that's where the people deserve what they deserve, man. They deserve information.
Right.
Yes,
right.
sir.
Right.
That's, all
well,
right.
With that, this is Talk Straight. We're going to get out of here. Join us at www.bfcinstitute.com. Look us up. Learn about orders. And we're going to leave again this week on the Bowden Brothers. If you move, Lord, I fall. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Right now, y'all. Oh, Lord. When I